welcome to Morning Manna, April the 22nd, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to guide us in the path of righteousness, that our path is made clear before us, and that we can obey you according to your will. We ask that today you would give us the strength that is necessary, that in all things we will obey you and you only. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we've reached the first chapter of the book of 2 Timothy, and we begin at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwell first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phrygias and Habaginides. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. And when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me in Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Review and Herald, July the 18th, 1907, beginning at paragraph 1, says this: I have a message to speak to the churches. If we are to make known the story of the cross in all parts of the world, our missionary effort must not be allowed to weaken. They must be kept vigorous and strong. The efforts we put forth to dispel the darkness of error will always be proportionate to our faith in God, manifested in our obedience to his commandments. With faith and courage and hope, we are to extend the knowledge of present truth. We have not always met, as we should, the obligations in missionary effort that our knowledge of present truth places upon us. The manifold wisdom of God has been displayed in the organization of his church in the earth for the representation of the truth in the world. In their zeal for the cause of righteousness, his servants are to reveal a faith that works by love and purifies the soul from every slothful habit, a zeal that reveals itself in watchfulness unto prayer, humble heart searching, a readiness to examine self, that they may detect their own defects of character and avoid the evils of self-exaltation. This faith and zeal are essential, or our labors for the perishing will weaken, and Christ will be disappointed in his church. The three powers of the Godhead have pledged their might to carry out the purpose that God has in mind when he gave to the world the unspeakable gift of his Son. Every act of self-denial, every earnest surrender to God, is an element in God's design for the increase of the piety and zeal and earnest faith of his people. The Holy Spirit unites with the power of grace that God has provided to turn souls to Christ. We are to labor as Christ labored for the salvation of dying souls. And as we work, our hearts are to be encouraged by the thought that every soul converted through our efforts will become another instrumentality in the work of recovering the lost. Guided by the same Spirit that led someone to work for him, he will take up the work and labor in the Spirit of the Master. God has given me this message to bear to those who are out of line. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all ye far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. For God is with us. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not, a confederacy, to all them to whom this people shall say, a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. In these last days, there are rising strange fallacies and man-made theories, which God declares shall be broken in pieces. The spirit of covetousness has led men to seek worldly advantage, and by extravagance and display, they have tried to hide their wicked deeds, which they have done in order to reach their object. Men occupying high positions of trust have revealed this unlawful desire for gain. They have practiced extortion and robbery, and have gratified the evil passions of their hearts, until our cities are corrupted through their wickedness. God has declared that he will uncover these works of deceit and robbery by their own working. In some cases, the judgment of God have already fallen heavily on these cities. The Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not, a confederacy, to all them to whom this people shall say, a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. In this representation of the prophet, we see that Satan is at work not only with worldlings who have not the fear and love of God before them, but also with those who profess faith in Christ. Here are plainly represented two distinct parties formed from a company that was once united. The members of one of these parties are in resistance to the will of God. They have taken themselves from the side of the loyal and true, and are now resisting the warnings of the Spirit of God. To the obedient, the Lord will be for a sanctuary, but for a stone stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Every professed believer in Christ will be tempted by Satan, and many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Notwithstanding all their knowledge of the Word of God, all their light and their position as expositors of Bible truth, many shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Let me read that again for you, my dear brother, my dear sister. And I'm reading that particular paragraph. It's found in Review and Herald, July the 18th, 1907, and paragraph 8. It says, every professed believer in Christ will be tempted by Satan. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Notwithstanding all their knowledge of the Word of God, all their light, and all their position as expositors of Bible truth, many shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. The ruin of this class is certain. Then the charge is given, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob. And I would look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, shall not a people seek unto their God? For the living, to the dead, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. This warning is given for the days in which we are now living. Read carefully the third chapter of 2 Timothy. This chapter refers to the many spoken of by Isaiah who have departed from the faith. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, the apostle says to Timothy, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast heard and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. A wealth of moral influence has been brought to us in the last half century. Through his Holy Spirit, the voice of God has come to us continually in warning and instruction to confirm the faith of the believers in the spirit of prophecy. Repeatedly, the word has come, write the things that I have given you to confirm the faith of my people in the position they have taken. Time and trial have not made void the instruction given, but through years of suffering and self-sacrifice have established the truth of the testimony given. The instruction that was given in the early days of the message is to be held as safe instruction to follow in these its closing days. Those who are indifferent to this light and instruction must not expect to escape the snares that we have been plainly told will cause the rejection of light to stumble and fall and be snared and be taken. If we study carefully the second chapter of Hebrews, we shall learn how important it is that we hold steadfastly to every principle of truth that has been given. I am now ready to be offered, the Apostle Paul declared as his warfare drew to a close. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia, unto Luke. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also. For he hath greatly withstood our words. And my first answer, no man could stand with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me until his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This letter was written to Timotheus, the first bishop of the church of Ephesus, after Paul had been brought before Nero the second time to witness with his life to the faith he held. In placing on record this account of his trials through men who turned from the faith, Paul speaks words which should encourage our hearts as we pass over the same ground. We're having trials to encounter similar to those that Paul met. There are some who once were with us as teachers, but who are now denying the faith and are working against the truth they once advocated. In this experience, we need not lose our faith and confidence in God. It is the privilege of each to be able to say, "The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The love of God embraces all mankind. Christ, in giving the commission to the disciples, said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Christ intended that a greater work should be done in behalf of men than we have yet seen. He did not intend that such large numbers should choose to stand under the banner of Satan and be enrolled as rebels against the government of God. The world's Redeemer did not design that his purchased inheritance should live and die in their sins. Why then are so few reached and saved? It is because so many of those who profess to be Christians are working in the same lines as the great apostate. Thousands who know not God might today be rejoicing in his love if those who claim to be his servants would work as Christ worked. The blessings of salvation, temporal as well as spiritual, are for all mankind. There are many who complain of God's because the world is so full of want and suffering. But God never meant that this misery should exist. He never meant that one man should have an abundance of the luxuries of life while the children of others cry for bread. The Lord is a God of benevolence. He has made ample provision for the wants of all, and through his representatives to whom he has entrusted his goods, he designed that the needs of all of his creatures should be supplied. Let those who believe the word of God read the instruction contained in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. There they will learn what kind of education was given to the families of Israel. While God's chosen people were to stand forth distinct and holy, separate from the nations that knew him not, they were to treat the stranger kindly. He was not to be looked down upon because he was not of Israel. The Israelites were to love the stranger because Christ died, as verily to save him as he did to save Israel. At their feast of thanksgiving, when they recounted the mercies of God, the stranger was to be made welcome. At the time of harvest, they were to leave in the fields a portion of the stranger for the stranger and the poor. So the strangers were to share also in God's spiritual blessings. The Lord God of Israel commanded that they should be received if they choose the society of those who knew and acknowledged him. In this way, they would learn the law of Jehovah and glorify him by their obedience. Today, God is calling us to do the same. He's calling us to reach out to those who know him not, to share with them the truth that we have been given, to share with them an understanding of why Christ died and who he was and what he has in store for them if they would turn and follow him. The question is, will we do that? Or will we, like the children of Israel, stand aside and call them Gentiles and avoid them where possible? God is calling you today to do that which he has always wanted us to do, to be the messengers of truth, a messenger of hope to those who are hopeless. And in the times in which we live today, with all of the threats and the uncertainty of our circumstances, God expects us to rise up with a message of hope to go forward and show that there is a God of heaven who will soon send his Son in return to garner from this earth those who have turned from unrighteousness to righteousness. You have an opportunity to share that truth. Will you do it? Will you make an obligation to God today to do exactly that? We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of working with you. We ask that you would give us the strength that is necessary so that we might go forward and be a witness for you. We ask forgiveness for all of our sins, for the times that we have wasted, for the opportunities that we have overlooked, and we ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit so that as we walk and talk, that our lives might reflect you in every detail. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, April the 22nd, 2020.